presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia does get a commitment over the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes here today on Dog Nation Daily. But I kind of want to begin the week by setting the stage for spring practice here in 2018, which for Georgia starts tomorrow as I record this, of course, here on a Monday morning. And we kind of know the drill when it comes to a Georgia spring practice. You know, there are those moments in which we see some evidence of a guy here and there that may be able to break out in a big way in the upcoming season. And sometimes these are false positives. We can all sort of joke about what we've seen in the past of guys we thought from a G-Day performance might go on to have a great season and ultimately doesn't really happen. Normally it's because there just aren't enough footballs to go around. You know, we think about touches for this wide receiver, touches for that running back, and get the tight ends more involved and kind of everything else. And when it's all said and done, you know, Georgia's not one of these teams that runs 100 plays a game. So there's not necessarily room for, you know, for everybody to get the offensive touches that we want them to get. But nonetheless, that is a big part of the conversation when it comes to spring practice of, hey, who from last year's team may be ready to take another big step forward in 2018, especially at a time when Georgia has so many, you know, hot, you know, well-regarded incoming freshmen. Sometimes it's those guys in the second year of a program who are actually the ones that take the biggest leap forward, not just on offense, but defense, kind of everything in between. Let me focus on one of those guys just for a moment, because y'all know how much fun we all had at Dog Nation Appreciation on Thursday. Either you were lucky enough to be there with us or you weren't. The fact of the matter is, it was, I think, the biggest and most, you know, sensational event that Dog Nation's ever done, Dog Nation Daily's ever been a part of. And one of the ways in which it was great is if you walk around that, you know, ballroom floor, that concert hall floor before this thing started, there were all kinds of just former Georgia players just sort of walking around, congregating, hanging out, talking to whoever happened to be there. It was really kind of a weird opportunity to kind of rub elbows and bump into some former Georgia greats. Jeff Sintel, I thought, did a really good job of doing this with his sort of behind-the-scenes Facebook Live. And one of the guys he bumped into was former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards. Y'all know here on Dog Nation Daily, we love Terrence. We think he was a great receiver at Georgia. We also think he's a good wide receivers coach in terms of those personal instruction type situations right now. He's working with a lot of current Georgia players individually. He's working with Tyler Simmons, the former wide receiver out of McEachern. He's working with Trey Blunt, former wide receiver out of Pace Academy. He's even doing some work with a defensive back, Chris Smith. He's working with these guys. And Jeff Sintel asked Terrence Edwards about Trey Blunt in particular. Blunt going into his second year at the Georgia program, what Terrence Edwards had liked about Trey Blunt and how far he'd seen him come in his development as a wide receiver. And if you're a Georgia fan thinking about who can make a big impact in 2018, maybe a little, leave a little room for a Mr. Blunt here. Here's Terrence Edwards to explain why.
I was telling Trey and his father yesterday that we work on whip routes, change of directions, and Trey would fall every time running the change of direction routes. And now he's up on his feet, getting in and out of breaks just as fast. And I'm telling you, people are sleeping on Trey right now.
I got to tell you, I think that the sort of hip-hop vibe there underneath the music for a Dog Nation Appreciation, I think that works pretty well for Dog Nation Daily. Maybe we need to add that more into what we're doing here. But anyway, the interview there takes place with Jeff Sintel before Dog Nation Appreciation starts. That's why you kind of hear the house music kind of going on above you. But it's what Edwards says about Blunt that's the most important there. This is a guy whose agility is getting better. This is a guy who's, you know, able to stay on his feet during these kind of drills. He's the kind of guy that's more comfortable doing the things that wide receivers are already doing. He was a physical player when he entered Georgia, and that gave him a chance to be on the field because, as Trey told us back at a Marlowe's broadcast way back before he enrolled at Georgia, you block to get the rock. He had that mentality that helped him get on the field. But now he's kind of rounding out the other part of his wide receiver game, that ability to sort of get the rock, be the kind of receiver that can catch the football now, run the routes, and get open. Here's a little more of Terrence Edwards talking about that very fact as Trey Blunt becomes a little bit more of a complete wide receiver.
Trey is big. I didn't realize how much bigger he got. Like, I'm standing beside him. I'm 6'1". Trey is a good inch taller than me, and he's a good 210 pounds and physical. That's why he got on the field this year. And blocking, Trey has big hands. So when Trey gets the opportunity to play and catch the ball, you'll see how exceptional hands he has.
Part of the reason why I start the show talking about this on Monday, it was a day earlier last week, maybe it was Thursday, I can't remember, you know, after the official broadcast ends, we always do kind of a sort of an open-ended Q&A on our video broadcast, either YouTube or Facebook Live, and people were talking about pecking order for wide receivers in 2018. And, you know, I think when you hear Terrence Edwards, a guy who knows Trey Blunt well, when he talks about the young sophomore from Pace Academy, maybe for all of us we need to make a little room in that pecking order for the wide receiver corps for 2018 for a guy like Trey Blunt. He's going to be on the field because he's a good blocker, but he may also, you know, be more effective as a pass catcher, at least based on Edwards' description there. Look forward to seeing that play out during spring practice. A guy that we won't see in spring practice, we'll talk about Terrence Edwards' assessment of in just a moment. But some other things from Terrence Edwards here from his interview before Dog Nation Appreciation on Thursday. You know, he obviously saw a Georgia offense in 2017 led by a freshman quarterback with Fromm, now more seasoned, more experience. Do we see that Georgia offense open up a little more? Is there a little more dynamic passing game added into what was already a terrific running game? Well, Terrence Edwards had some thoughts on that. Here is a TE once again.
I think it'll open up once you trust the quarterback, as I think they trust Jake now. I mean, you think about it, we had two freshmen in consecutive years to play starting quarterback for us. So we have Jake has a chance to be special, and I think they understand that. They will open it up more, but we, our backs we have, we can't leave them out. I mean, with Zeus coming in.
I love the word that he used there on Jake Fromm, has a chance to be special. Now, for a moment, we'll put Justin Fields and his role in this 2018 aside, because I think what Terrence Edwards says there about Jake Fromm is true. For a quarterback that was already very good as a freshman, how much better is he going to be in his sophomore season, the big leap that we assume takes place from that freshman to sophomore year? How much more comfortable is Fromm going to be this season? And does that comfort level from Fromm allow Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart to open up that Georgia playbook even more? Georgia's been about two-thirds run to pass over the last few years. Is there more of a, I don't want to say 50-50 balance, because it's probably not going to move quite that fast in that direction, but do you move a little closer towards 50-50 this season because you've got a really good quarterback distributing the football? I think that's an interesting thing to see. Terrence Edwards also brings up those incoming freshman running backs. He mentioned Zeus, Samir White. He's obviously enrolled at Georgia for this spring. We'll have to wait a while to see him on the football field as he continues his recovery from injury. But the other freshman who'll be here later on this summer is another name that's on Terrence Edwards' mind, James Cook, the big addition, nation's number three running back, the class of 2018. Terrence Edwards is looking forward to seeing him too.
I love James Cook. I love his speed, his change of direction. I kind of compare him to Keith Marshall, his deception of speed, his breakaway speed.
Yeah, so obviously that's an exciting thing to think about. You know that you've got the power when you think about what Holyfield's able to do, and he's also fast as well. The same with Harry, who kind of brings both those things to the table. DeAndre Swift is in many ways a finished product as a running back, but being able to add the sheer speed, the blazing speed of a guy like James Cook, makes the Georgia offense kind of an interesting sight to behold, potentially, when it's all kind of put in place before the fall of 2018. One more thing here from Terrence Edwards, or at least a couple more things from Terrence Edwards before we move on to something else in the program. Edwards, in terms of his evaluation of the Georgia offense, it's kind of interesting to see that he is very much like many Georgia fans who they see one position in this Georgia offense that just hasn't been used enough. For a lot of fans, they say it's the tight end position. Terrence Edwards at Dog Nation Appreciation, he seemed to agree.
I just like for us to use our tight ends a little bit more next year. I mean, we have some exceptional tight ends, and we got some coming in. So if we can control the middle of the field on tight ends, the offense is going to be unstoppable.
So I made my point before on the Georgia tight ends when it comes to this, that while I agree with Terrence that I'd love to see those guys catch more passes, as some of the X's and O's folks we've quoted here the last couple months on Dog Nation Daily have pointed out, that sometimes a tight end on the field can be valuable even if he's not catching the football. He is that extra blocker, which makes the running game hard to stop, especially against modern defenses, so many of which only have two linebackers on the field at any given time. And Georgia's case, because their tight ends are not only physical, they can also run, you're potentially occupying both a linebacker and a safety, which makes sometimes the tight end a weapon in terms of what opposing defenses have to do to think about it, even if that guy's not catching the football. But ultimately, when you've got guys like Warner and you got guys like Isaac Nada, who are both probably NFL-type talents, seeing them catch the football more in 2018 is something I think that every Georgia fan wants to see. But ultimately, here on this day before spring practice starts, the big issue for Georgia is not which playmakers touch the football the most and how you do you distribute the ball this upcoming season. It's really the transition of leaders from one group to the next. And at Dog Nation Appreciation last Thursday, obviously we talked to five guys who had been tremendous leaders for Georgia in the 2017 season. Now as spring practice begins on Tuesday, it's time for a whole new crop to step up, and that's a concern that Terrence Edwards is paying attention to also.
I think we're going to be just as talented. We're just losing a lot of leadership, the guys that we're losing. But talent-wise, I think we're going to be on par as we were this year. We just got to get those young guys to be great leaders like this group of seniors were.
And really, that's the bottom line for me on this entire discussion. I think when you look at the measurables, when you look at the recruiting rankings, when you look at all those kinds of things, as hard as it might be for some people to believe, the overall composite talent level of the 2018 team is actually higher than it was in 2017. But there were some pretty special players in this 2017 team, not just with their on-field performance, but their leadership as well. Who will those new leaders be? Who steps up and takes that mantle and takes that obligation on as their own? We don't know for sure the answer to that question yet, but we're going to begin to find out as soon as tomorrow. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Thank you so much for being with us today. Whether you watch us on video, a couple different ways for you to catch the video edition of our program live each and every morning at 10 a.m., both on the Dog Nation Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also go back, rewatch the show later on. It's always there for you on both those mediums if you want to check it out. But we are live every morning at 10 a.m., the Dog Nation Facebook and YouTube pages. We are also on the radio at noon every single day at Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love our friends in the Classic City. We love being on the radio with them. And of course, we try to make the podcast as easy for you to find as well. Apple Podcast, Android devices, SoundCloud, the world famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad you have found Dog Nation Daily. Glad you're a part of us on our program today. We'll have Chip Towers coming up in just a moment. You know, before that, I mentioned Dog Nation Appreciation a moment ago and what a great event it was on Thursday. I continue to really have a big smile on my face every time I think about it. The interactions I was able to have with so many of you who were there and, of course, the Georgia players who we were proud enough to be able to honor there on that night. It would not have been possible without our great sponsors. Big thank you to Kroger, Marlowe's, the Atlanta Braves, Online Trading Academy, and Tailgate Apparel for making this a great event. Of course, Tailgate Apparel had the great booth set up with David Green. You know, David's on with us, Dog Nation Daily a lot. He's doing some great stuff with Tailgate Apparel. You can find them in their retail store right there in downtown Athens. You can check that out in the old Harry Bissett's building. Online Trading Academy. You know, make sure you check out Bulls and Bears, the radio program to help you navigate the tricky waters that is the current financial market. It's a Saturday and Sunday on AM 750 WSB and News 95.5. Check out Bulls and Bears, the radio program there. They can kind of help you figure out what to do with your retirement, your 401k, and kind of everything in between. Of course, the Atlanta Braves opening day, now less than 2 weeks away. We're excited about the start of a Brave season there. Once again, at SunTrust Park, right across the street from where we were at the Coca-Cola Roxy Theater. Good luck to the Braves this season. You know we love Marlowe's. We're actually hoping to be back at a Marlowe's for a broadcast again really soon. Of course, we'll do the Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All with Jeff Sintel tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily. And Kroger, as we said, it would not be possible, a Dog Nation appreciation, without our friends from Kroger. All right, so Georgia does get a big commitment over the weekend. The four-star defensive end, Bill Norton from Memphis, Tennessee, he made it official. He kind of put out, as so many of these prospects do these days, these sort of, I think in relationship terms, sometimes you say Facebook official. In college football recruiting, the Twitter term is Twitter official, I guess, now. And Bill Norton is now officially committed to Georgia with his Go Dogs tweet. If you're watching a video, you see him flexing with what looks like to be a John Atkins chain there around his neck. Good stuff from Bill Norton on that. And for me, there are really two things to like about Norton's commitment to the University of Georgia here. The first one is, and as Jeff Sintel kind of pointed out on Twitter, this sort of puts Georgia right back in that number one position for the 2019 class. Jeff, let us know that when you tabulate these numbers, that all of a sudden now, Georgia back in front for 2019, and that's obviously good news as Georgia gets ready to chase that one more time. Norton's a good addition in that regard. But the other thing that I like about the Bill Norton commitment for Georgia, and if you don't mind me, I hate to start the week on such a spiteful note here, but one of the things you kind of like about this is it is a little bit of a blow to a Tennessee here. Jeremy Pruitt in particular, when you lose out on a player from Memphis, you know, this early in Pruitt's tenure, this is not something that he wants to do. Norton had just taken an unofficial visit to Tennessee, and it was what back on National Signing Day, Jeremy Pruitt had gone and done one of these speaking tour events in Memphis. He told the folks there that city was going to be really important to their recruiting efforts. He says, this is going to be our city. I can tell you that right now. We're going to be here as many opportunities as we can get. We're going to get guys from up there. This is going to be a priority for us. Memphis is a pretty good city for high school football recruiting in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee just has not had a lot of cachet with its in-state recruits as of late. So trying to build a fence around the city of Memphis would be a pretty good idea, I guess. But in the case of Bill Norton, that's not going to work out for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. And I hate to, you know, like I said, start the week off by rubbing this in their face. But that is kind of another sort of good win for Georgia here. And for Tennessee, there is a head scratcher of what we're going to have to do to sort of build up our own brand with our in-state recruits. Georgia obviously you know, took Cade Mays out of Knoxville. You had Clemson coming in with the class of 2017 and taking a bunch of players. Even at LSU kind of coming in state, taking some players from the state of Tennessee. So a lot to think about there on that regard, but a nice pickup for Georgia when it comes to Bill Norton. We're going to get Chip Towers here in just a moment. Before we do that, let me remind you, we'll get back to college basketball action again on Thursday. That means for many of you, a chance to get some bets down and be a winner. The website you want to go to do that's mybookie.ag. It's not just point spreads and over-unders and you know, money lines, things like that. You can also do the in-game wagering as well. And right now, they've got a great offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. You can get your first deposit matched up to 50%. But you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION, spelled the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G. Use the promo code DOGNATION and get signed up at mybookie.ag. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. You play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that with MyBookie. Hope you enjoy Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we'll say good morning and hello to Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily. And Chip, obviously we want to talk to you a lot about the upcoming spring practice for Georgia, which does begin tomorrow. Before we get to some of the ongoings on the football field, which may be indoors for Georgia if this weather I'm looking at my window continues tomorrow, let's close the book here on the Tom Crean situation with that before we get there. I read your piece at DogNation.com after the Crean press conference on Friday. Sounds like you were impressed with what he brought to the table. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was definitely, as I wrote at Dog Nation, won the press conference, and that's what I've been told about him, is this guy's an incredible salesman, I guess you would say, number one. That was definitely kind of my takeaway on him. It's like, wow, this guy could sell ice cream to an Eskimo. Very energetic, very tanned, just arriving from Sarasota. Reminded me a little bit of Jim Valvano. I don't know whether he'll be as inspirational as that man was to a lot of people, but he was definitely maybe exactly what Georgia needed. You know, I agree with what Greg McGarrity and his the people that were helping him with the search arrived at, that Thad Mata was probably the best overall coach available. But there were questions, and certainly I think ultimately that's what the decision was made with Thad Mata not being able to ultimately turn it down. The position was that he just couldn't do it at this time because of his back situation. And Tom Crean is just the opposite of all that, you know, energetic, motivational, inspirational, and look, he can coach some hoops as well, as his record at Marquette and Indiana tells you. So I think it was a great hire, and I think a lot of Georgia people came away going, wow, okay, that's Tom Crean. So now he's got to get busy and go out there and kind of turn around these guys who had already committed to Georgia and kind of get them to come on. And if he does, I think he inherits a pretty doggone good basketball team.
You know, you don't often hear about visits like this, or I should say hires like this, without sort of a pre-hire visit, a chance to tour the campus. We know that Mata was a part of a couple of those visits. Of course, the second one for those may have been for him to tell McGarrity that he wasn't coming, but he did take his visit to Athens before ultimately made his decision. Crean takes the Georgia job without really stepping foot on the campus. Is that weird in your mind?
Well, no. I mean, I love the way he addressed that. You know, he said, hey, you know, I mean, nowadays, you know, you can go online and look at everything, you know, just like you're there. And that's what he said he did. You know, he viewed the facility. Georgia has a virtual tour that you can do online, and that's what he did. And that wasn't what it was all about. I mean, they talked. Him and McGarrity talked for 2 hours on Wednesday right after Mata had turned down the job. And then they met and talked for 6 hours. Him and Jerry Moorhead and Greg McGarrity at his home in Sarasota, and you know, that's all he needed. So yeah, I don't see anything odd about that. You know, you hear that in recruiting now and again too, that somebody commits or possibly even signs without ever coming on campus and seeing the facilities. For him, that wasn't what it was about. It was about relationships, and more than that, probably. Brandon, it was about commitment, and I think you see Georgia's commitment to basketball just starting with their candidate list, and then with the contract that they You know, they offered Thad Mata $3.2 million a year. Kareem got 6 years, $3.2 million, a $19.2 million contract without whatever. You know, there's going to be incentives and bonuses therein. So essentially, probably $20 million for a coach. I think that tells you where Georgia is with their basketball program. You know, the Stegman Coliseum has undergone $20 million worth of renovations over the last couple of decades. There's nothing wrong with the facility. Kareem said that, having walked through it that day. Nothing wrong with the facilities here. You just got to get the players. And that's his specialty, is getting the players in, and hopefully he'll be able to do that in short order.
Let me shift gears to a football spring practice, which obviously begins this week for Georgia. And, you know, one of the interesting dynamics last year was when it was Eason and Fromm competing for the quarterback job, Kirby Smart sort of always found those excuses to talk up Jake Fromm. The assumption I always made was this is a way of pushing Jacob Eason. Doesn't seem like Jake Fromm needs to be pushed in that regard. Do you think how Kirby talks about quarterbacks this spring, with Fields in the mix and Fromm the incumbent starter, is going to be different than it was a year ago with Eason and Fromm?
I don't expect Kirby's talk to be a whole lot different, and I really don't expect the, you know, the dynamic of the quarterback position to change much, because the reality is, in Justin Fields, you have a quarterback who has to get ready to play no matter what. You know, I mean, that's just all there is to it. You only have one scholarship quarterback. If he goes down, then the other guy's got to go in and play. So I think there's going to be a lot of intensity around that position in terms of getting ready. That said, I'm going to write later today, Brandon, in a little sneak preview, but I'll have a story on Jake Fromm, kind of what he's been doing in the spring to get ready for spring practice, and what he's been doing even, you know, here in the last week, what he did on spring break. And, man, the kid, I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, looks really, really good. He hasn't gained any weight, as I understand it, but he looks like a tight end to me. I mean, he looks like he could line up over there with Charlie Warner and those guys and do a pretty good job of, blocking the edge for DeAndre Swift. Which he did do on occasion with that zone read, go out there and block on the perimeter. He did a pretty good job of that last year. Jake Fromm looks great. I expect him to play great. And while Coach Smart and everybody's going to talk up the competition standpoint of the quarterback position, I don't think, you know, anybody's going to be able to wrest this starting job out of Jake Fromm's hands just based on what we saw from him last year, what I'm seeing from him now, what we know about him from a football aptitude standpoint. I just think it's going to be really, really – and then just a work ethic standpoint, I just don't think it's going to be plucked away. Now, Jake could ultimately lose this job the same way that he got the job. Was, you know, an injury takes him on the sideline, Justin Fields comes in, and he's just plays too incredible to take it away. But otherwise, I don't see any scenario – where Jake Fromm's going to lose the job or really any significant playing time to Justin Fields.
Of course, we don't, as media members, get to see a lot of practice. You're there in Athens every day. You don't get to see a lot of the practice, but you do get to see some, and you'll talk to people who see even more than you do close to the Georgia program. What are you looking for from Fields? What would be, as a guy that's covered a million Georgia practices, what's a clue to you that he's a comfortable freshman? Sometimes freshmen, even if they're, you know, well-regarded, they come in and the speed of a college practice can be a little fast, can be a little intense. How will you receive some clues from Fields that let you know that he's feeling comfortable, even if he's not the starting quarterback, even if he's just a backup? What are you looking for to sort of determine his comfort level as a freshman this spring?
Yeah, boy, I mean, you pointed out the first part of that difficult equation is we don't see a ton of practice. We don't see a ton of 11-on-11, and that's where you can see how well a player's developing and how well they're getting things. And, really it's in the meeting room where the quarterback meeting room where the most difficult competition is waged. And that's really what we heard about with Jake Fromm really early on. I think maybe even before spring practice, where we started hearing some utterings from Kirby Smart about, hey, that, you know, this Jake Fromm guy's really putting some pressure on Jacob Eason, going to make him a better quarterback. It's in those meeting rooms. You know, they test them to a great degree. And so, how much Justin Fields is able to absorb of that playbook and able to regurgitate in the meeting room where they, you know, they compete, with tests and video review and things like that, about what they're seeing, what they're doing, what do you do here, what do you do there. That, to me, is where the real competition is waged, and we're not going to be able to see a lot of that. And then where that is manifest itself is out on the field in 11-on-11. Generally, in the spring, we don't see any 11-on-11 to the G-Day game. So that's, I'll be really looking forward to that. And you remember Jake last year in the G-Day game really performed well, even though, you know, he's going against generally a lesser competition, the backup quarterback is. You know, that's where you're going to see how everything has come together. Now, Justin Fields is a high aptitude guy generally. You know, this is a guy that could have gone Ivy League. That, you know, whether it translates in being able to absorb all the offensive playbook, or whether it that manifests itself in you know your trigonometry class you're taking, it are two different sides of the brain. So we just won't know all that. Now, there also the other thing, Jake. There's a staff reshift here on the offensive side of the ball, and that is a very intriguing storyline for me. It's like, now, how's Jim Chaney going to fit in, and James Coley, you know, moving from the wide receiver's position, how's he going to figure in as quarterback's coach? That, too, will take a while to kind of get a handle on, see how it's working, but that's an intriguing part of the spring for me.
Now, you had a great piece that came from Dog Nation Appreciation on Thursday. You caught up with Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, about their thoughts about the remaining running backs of 2018, both the incoming freshman James Cook and Zamir White, the two guys that are actually the three guys that are there with DeAndre Swift, Brian Herrien, and Elijah Holyfield. They seem to think that Georgia's going to be just fine at running back without them. I have a tendency to agree with that, and not just in the case of Georgia, but for these programs in the SEC like LSU and Auburn that, you know, have had – you know, good statistical running games for many years, replacing the names and bringing in new guys. We see over and over again that the productivity ends up being fine. I think Georgia's another example of that, Chip. I agree with both Chubb and Michelle. They were all-time greats. They're gone. I think the Georgia running game is not going to really skip a beat without them, though.
It shouldn't, you know, and a lot of that comes down to talent and philosophy. And, you know, Georgia's philosophy is to run the football. Kirby Smart's philosophy is to run the football. Then you got to have somebody to run it with. And all indications are you've got that. You know, and DeAndre Swift and you know, even Elijah Holyfield and Brian Herrien. But then these new guys coming in, you know, you're just talking about a very high pedigree of tailback. And Georgia recruits enough of them at the standpoint that the cream is always going to rise. There's always going to be enough competition where you know, it's going to present itself in good time. We know what we have in DeAndre Swift. I think we know to a large degree what we have in, you know, Brian Herrien and Elijah Holyfield. Those other guys we're not sure about. You know, I don't expect to see a lot out of Zamir White, you know, virtually nothing in the spring. That'll be one of the, you know, interesting observations to make. Exactly what is he doing during the practices? Is he actually going through drills? Are they going to have him on the side? We'll see. I think that guy is just everything I've heard is going to be, you know, fall right in line with the Chubbs and the Michelles and the Todd Gurleys of the world once he gets his feet under him and can do that. James Cook, you know, I mean, I want to see what this kid's all about, you know. Yeah. He can play the position as well. So that you're going to have that from a philosophical standpoint. Now, I also think, you know, that Georgia's going to throw the ball a little bit more this year than everybody expects. I mean, I think that the narrative last year that Jake Fromm couldn't throw the ball was just hilarious. I got a chance to talk to his dad not too long ago, and this is all this kid did in high school. And maybe he doesn't throw the hardest dart in the world, but you know he is insanely accurate. I mean, it's incredible. And what Jake Fromm did last year on third down, I've got some cool stats I want to share with everybody in this piece I'm going to write later today. And, you know, this is not smoke and mirrors. You know, we had 15 games to kind of see this, and they got more difficult as they went along. So, you know, the balance therein is going to be interesting. So I don't know if Georgia will have another two tailbacks who can combine for over 8,000 yards in their career out of the bunch that we have gathering right here. But the talent and the commitment to running the football should be there.
Is right tackle the most important, or I shouldn't say important, most interesting position battle you're going to watch this spring? You know, Isaiah Wilson, the five-star emerging, maybe someone else there, possibly. Is that the most intriguing position battle for you this spring?
Well, it is. And Les Gard's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, Kendall Baker, you know, it was there and started most of the games, but was really, you know, Georgia's interior offensive line got exposed a little bit against Alabama. And that might have been the only team in the country that could expose that. Maybe Clemson to some degree, you know, so it's kind of, it's all relative. But, you know Kirby. I mean, he's looking to improve all the way across that line. But obviously we'll be watching very closely. I hope we have an opportunity to see right away when those offensive linemen get out there on the field. Does Andrew Thomas just start on the left side right away, or is he still at that right position? We all expect that move to be made, if not, you know, right away, but eventually. And, Isaiah Wilson and Ben Cleveland, does he go back to right guard, or he played a lot of right tackle before they kind of made that shift? Solomon Kim, there's really a lot of scenarios there, but, you know, primarily, look, Isaiah Wynn is going to have laugh here in the NFL draft. That guy probably played way above what any of us realized he was doing all year at left tackle, so that's not a small thing. You got to replace your left tackle. You got to replace your blind side. That's a big deal, you know, no matter who you are and what your situation is.
Let me squeeze in one quick final question. I was kind of laughing at myself this morning thinking back to last spring when, you know, Kirby Smart, no Trent Thompson, no Roquan Smith. He was so hard on this defense with every public comment last year, making it sound like they weren't even capable of being a bowl team. Then they go out and, you know, lead Georgia to the college football playoff. My guess is we'll hear almost exactly the same thing again this season or this spring, as Kirby is really hard on these, you know, new outside linebackers trying to replace Davin and Lorenzo, inside linebackers trying to replace Roquan, somebody joining DeAndre Baker, cornerback. My guess is Kirby's going to be just as hard on him here over the next few weeks, just like it was a year ago, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I honestly believe that the defensive rebuild is going to be more significant than most people realize, and specifically in that front seven that you refer to. Not as much in the D-line, but definitely that linebacker core. I mean, I don't know if anybody realizes, maybe everybody realizes, but that linebacker core was just unbelievable for Georgia last year. Unmatched, I think. I don't think there was anybody, I don't think Alabama's linebackers were better than Georgia's. I don't think anybody's linebackers were better than Georgia's as a group, and especially when you had Natres Patrick in there. When you had those four going, and then you're subbing in with Reggie Carter and DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant. I mean, that man, let me tell you, that was a group right there. Number one in college football, in my opinion. D line a little lesser so, and I think that's a real concern coming in. Georgia just hasn't been, you know, as great as they've done in recruiting. You just haven't seen the number and the pedigree of defensive linemen coming into the program. And to me, that is the biggest position that determines the difference in the top of the SEC and the bottom every year is what you got up front on the D-line. I don't hate Georgia's D-line at all. I think they're good. And, you know, Tyler Clark's fantastic and Rochester and certainly the defensive ends do a great job for Georgia. But, that, you know, that's a big question mark for me. There's a lot of work to be done. And let me tell you, it's been interesting hearing the stories about Kirby, particularly at the Dog Nation Appreciation event. You did a great job, by the way, Brandon. And I don't know if people who all didn't get to see it, but if there's some video somewhere of your panel discussion with those guys, it was fantastic. But it was so interesting.
Thank you, Chip.
To get to hear these guys, you know, unfiltered and talk about Kirby and Kirby, what he's like. And the funniest thing to me is that we all know Kirby, the frenetic, crazy guy on the sideline during the games. They say that's nothing compared to practice all week. Like, he's actually relatively calm to what he does. And I can't imagine what he's going to be like. There's so much work to get done on that defense. We may see him just lose hair on the spot while he's going through this spring practice, but just frothing at the mouth because there's so much work to get done on that side of the ball at all three levels. And I know Kirby knows that, and I know he'll do everything there possibly could be done to get those guys ready. And that's going to be, to me, you know, one of the kind of most interesting aspects of this whole thing. And you did a great job on that. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Well, I really appreciate your kind words about Dog Nation Appreciation. I was really proud to have been a part of it myself. And we'll look forward to catching up with your piece on Jake Fromm as we sort of set the stage preview his next step forward as Georgia quarterback at spring practice. The Dogs begins this week. That's going to be a really good piece coming up at DogNation.com this week. Chip, thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily. We're looking forward to a lot of spring coverage, and we'll talk to you on our program again very soon.
We'll bring it to you. Thank you, pal.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I just, listen, Dog Nation Appreciation was a ton of fun for me. I was really honored and proud to have been a part of it. I'm so thankful that so many of you had a chance to be there as well. You know, I'm still kind of getting some of those Twitter messages here and there from folks saying, hey, had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And you have no idea what that means to me. I was really proud to have been able to be a part of the team that put that on. That was a really cool thing. And it was great to have Chip Towers, of course, hanging out there as well. I know many of you enjoyed your chance to kind of rub elbows with Chip. You know, some of you see Jeff and me a lot because we do a lot of events in Atlanta. Chip obviously lives in Athens. So, you know, you don't get to see Chip at as many of our Dog Nation events. It was really kind of cool to have him there for that. By the way, before we do our SEC through, one more thing to kind of get to from what Chip was talking about. You know, one of the interesting things about the Georgia running backs, I'm talking about the new ones, the guys currently in the roster, Swift and Harry and Holyfield, the incoming freshman, Samir, who's already there but recovering from injury, Cook will be here later on, is they're going to have the one advantage that, for the most part, Chubb and Michelle did not have for the course of their career. Jeff Sintel's done a good job talking about this. You know, Chubb and Michelle, until the final year of their Georgia career, that may have been the only truly good offensive line they ever played behind. I mean, the other 3 years for them in a Georgia uniform, that maybe was average Georgia offensive line, not even good. But there's a chance that for the rest of DeAndre Swift's career, the rest of Holyfield and Arian's career, and all of White and Cook's career, they may play for a great offensive line the entire time. At least that's the expectation of this current crop of Georgia offensive linemen, giving the number of 4- and 5-star guys that Georgia signed in that position. So while Chubb and Michelle are special players by almost any estimation, the opportunity that exists for the current Georgia running backs may be better because of the offensive line they get a chance to run around and run behind. By the way, as we switch over to our SEC through here, let me remind you of the fact that coming up this Friday, I'm going to be at the Georgia World Congress Center for the Atlanta International Auto Show. You know, it only happens in Atlanta once a year, but it's 5 big days from March 21st through the 25th. I'm going to be there on the 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m., but of course the action goes on all, you know, really weekend long there. Great chance for you to kind of shop and save on the next new vehicle in your life. But for the kids, bring them out there as well because they got the Marvel comic action figures, like the superhero type, mascot type things. They've got the Star Wars vehicles. I'm planning on taking my kids. I think they're going to really like it, and you need to do it as well. Go to GoAutoShow.com for more information on that. The Atlanta International Auto Show comes up this week at the Georgia World Congress Center. By the way, I am chomping at the bit to be back on SEC Country Live this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Country Facebook page. I have missed that. Have been on the show in a week. I'm really looking forward to being back again here today. One of the things we're going to talk about, you know, I've said this before, that Lane Kiffin is a problem for Alabama because Kiffin is very outspoken on social media. He likes to build his own brand up. He knows that Alabama is a springboard for him to do that. And one of the things we're going to talk about on the show later on today is that, you know, Clay Travis has this tweet where he's like, is there any team in sports more that's good, that's more boring than Virginia? Virginia, of course, the one seed that lost in the NCAA tournament over the weekend. And, you know, Kiffin kind of tweeted back with the kind of like, I guess it's like the sort of head scratch emoji, obviously letting you know that he's thinking. People took that as a dig on Alabama. The program that he left, he's essentially saying that he thinks Alabama has a boring offense. And I don't know if that sticks to Alabama or not. But if Alabama struggles, Kiffin's going to know how to, you know, make some headlines about that. He'll use a well-placed tweet. He'll go and do a national radio interview. He'll pop up on ESPN and make a television appearance. Kiffin is into building his own brand. It's one of the reasons why he grows and his stock rises as a coach. He'll use Alabama to do it. So with Mike Locksley, the new offensive coordinator, Dan Enos coming over as quarterback's coach, if that offense struggles in 2018 in any shape, form, or fashion, especially with the handling of these two quarterbacks, two guys that Kiffin knows pretty well, you better believe that Kiffin's going to be tweeting about that. A recruiting note here, Florida has added a preferred walk-on for the 2018 class here, kind of right before the buzzer. It's a linebacker, Umstead Sanders. What's interesting about Sanders here, he will be eligible for Florida this season. Not sure he'll play very much. He also happens to be the brother of the nation's number one running back for 2019, Trey Sanders from IMG Academy. Florida has not had good success recruiting IMG Academy. Sanders would obviously be a big one for them to step in and get. So obviously we don't know if these two things are connected. Maybe Dan Mullen just likes Umstead Sanders as a linebacker, but clearly it opens the door for them to potentially have some success with Trey Sanders, so we'll see how that goes down. But boy, speaking of running backs, we talked about the Georgia running back situation a moment ago. I thought that Nick Suss, who covers LSU for SECCountry.com, had kind of an interesting take on the LSU running backs. We obviously know that LSU is in the midst of a quarterback competition. Lowell Narcisse, Miles Brennan, folks like that competing for that job. Nick Suss says that he thinks that the LSU running back situation may actually be a more interesting competition this spring. Check that at sccountry.com. We'll talk more about that on SEC Country Live this afternoon. By the way, congratulations to Kentucky and Texas A&M, the two SEC teams that do make the Sweet 16 from the SEC, and we'll make that your SEC through. And as we wrap up our program today, quick programming note, do we have Before the Hedges tonight? Before the Hedges, 7 p.m.? So check out some Georgia recruiting talk, 7 p.m. Our buddy Hannah Chalker going to be on with Jeff Sintel talking about that. They'll be talking about the commitment that Georgia picks up over the weekend and kind of the growing visitor list for G-Day coming up in a couple of weeks. Make sure you check that out on the Dog Nation Facebook and YouTube pages tonight, 7 p.m. for Before the Hedges. Our buddy Hannah along with Jeff Sintel. By the way, we do it every day. We have not changed our tune on this one bit. We just mentioned Florida trying to maybe get in good with the 2019 prospects. One of the reasons why we believe that a good Georgia fan is supposed to be a Gator hater first and foremost. Make sure you check out the Gator Hater Countdown every day here on Dog Nation Daily. 222 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. By the way, also make sure you check out the Dog Nation Daily Double. We'll have it up at the forum for you and as a link on our show page at dognation.com. Plenty more on Tom Crean and the Lady Dogs tonight. See you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.